This morning's Bible reading is from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. And on the Bibles, on the by your chair, it's on page 1751. Romans 6, 1 to 11. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We are therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too live a new life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in the resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks for reading, Adam. Good morning, everyone. If we've ever met before, my name's Carl. I'm the senior pastor here. Thanks for joining with us this morning. It's great to be with you here today. Over the last 3 weeks as a church, we've been considering that question, what happens when we die? And big thanks to Steph and Glenva and Sally for helping us already to start thinking about that this morning. We've been reminded already today, haven't we, of the horror of death. And you'll know that. If you know someone who's died, you'll know that it's always sad, always painful. And yet, one of the great benefits, one of the great promises of Christianity is that death is not the end. We've just celebrated as a church the season of Easter. And at Easter, we remember, don't we? We remember Jesus' defeat of death. I want you to think back to our Easter services. Jesus was killed on a cross and then he was buried in a tomb. But we celebrate that on the third day, he rose with a new resurrection body. And over the last 3 weeks, I've been reminding you, and Tom's been reminding you also, that that means that we too can have great hope of our own future resurrection. And you might have wondered why. Like, why does that apply to me? Why does Jesus' resurrection apply to me? Let me give you an example. My wife, Meredith, is a great cook. And my daughter, Piper, can sing really well. But just because they can do those things, that certainly doesn't mean that I can do them. So why does Jesus' resurrection from the dead give us hope and confidence for our own resurrection? The answer to that question is in our passage today. That's what I want you to go away knowing today. And to help you see that, I've asked Benji if he'll come up to the front up here to help me with something. I used to be an engineer. And I used to enjoy building things and making things. And today, Benji's going to help me make something together. Benji, do you want to put a pair of gloves on for me? Because we're going to try gluing a couple of different plastic balls together. And I have here some super glue. It's made by the Gorilla Company. It is supposed to be super tough, super strong, impact-resistant glue. And if you get it on your fingers, they may never unstick. So put the gloves on first. Yeah, they're a bit tricky, aren't they? As long as they're covering your fingers mostly, I reckon it'll be all right. Well done. All right, good stuff. Now, if you hold those two together, this super glue says that it needs 10 seconds to glue together. So I'm going to put a little dot on here, and then I want you to press the balls together just gently, and we're going to count down from 10 and see if they stick together. So I'm glad you got gloves on. Right, let's count down. 10, 9... 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Right, let's see. Are they stuck together? Not really, are they? No. So much so for the super glue, right? I got a better idea, though. I reckon this might work. Do you want to pop them down on the ground down there where they're not going to stick? Well, they'll stick to the floor, but that's all right. We'll work that out later. Right, do you want to hold those? Maybe pull the gloves off because I reckon we won't want to get glue on these ones. Good. Drop them onto the floor. Perfect. If you want to hold these, I've got some really special tape here. It is called Gorilla Tape, and it is the strongest tape that I could find. I'm going to rip off a whole long piece like this. Right, hopefully that's long enough. Let's see. Cut it. If you hold them together, then we're going to try and wrap them up. Right, let's wrap that around. Tuck that under. See how we go. Something like that. Right, let's just press it together. Now you pull that. Let's see how strong this is. Pull as hard as you can. Ah, it's pretty strong. Very good. Well done. Do you want to hold that up for everyone to see? What do we learn from this? Well, we learn one thing, that Gorilla Tape is stronger than super glue, don't we? Very good. Thank you. Do you want to go and have a seat, Benji? Thanks for helping. I'm going to just put those up there for now. We learn certainly that Gorilla Tape is stronger than Gorilla glue. But what has that got to do with Jesus? What has it got to do with the certainty of our resurrection? Well, here's the big thing that I want you to remember today. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, if you call Jesus your Lord and Savior, I want you to remember that that means you are united to Him. In other words, it means that you are stuck to Jesus with an unbreakable bond, almost like you have been wrapped together with unbreakable gorilla tape. And the passage that Adam read to us before from Romans 6, granted there's no mention of super glue or gorilla tape, but I reckon this is sort of the idea that the author Paul had when he speaks about our union with Jesus. If you haven't already opened up your Bibles, I'd love you to do so. Turn to page 1752, actually, to see verse 5 of this passage. So verse 5 of Romans chapter 6. Paul says this. He says, "For if we have been united with him," and here he's speaking about Jesus, "if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his." If we are united to him, that means that if he dies, we die. If he rises, we rise. Now come back a couple of verses with me to verse 3 of the passage. In verse 3, Paul is speaking about baptism. And he says in verse 3, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" And here Paul's using a picture of baptism, of going under the water. He's showing us that that is like being buried with Christ. And coming up out of the water is like being raised up with him. Now, why does that matter? Well, let me show you again. Go back to our gorilla tape balls. I've got a bucket here. It's got some water in it. It's going to pop it into here. Now, this is really what the illustration is saying, I think. If we've been united with Jesus, if these two balls are stuck together, if one of them goes into the water of baptism, then they both do, don't they? And if one comes up out of the water, they both come up out of the water. You see what Paul is saying here? Come back and read with me verse 4. "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life." See, if Jesus rises from the dead and we are united to him, then we too will also rise. And here's what I want you to see. This is the great hope that we hold on to as Christians. We've been united to Jesus. Jesus has defeated death. So if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're strapped to him, taped to him, you can be sure that one day you will rise just as Jesus did. You see that this idea of being united to Jesus means that his past becomes our past. And his future becomes our future. But it's not only that, is it? I mean, that's the guarantee that we have as Christians. But it's not only that. We also see that the sufferings of Jesus become our sufferings, and the benefits that he has, like resurrection, become our benefits. And I want you to see this morning, this is not all just a future thing. It's not all just something that will happen in the future for us. Paul's argument is that through baptism, we have been given new life, not just in the future, but new life today. And I want you to see that with that comes benefits. So let me try and explain this with another illustration. Do you remember what was happening in Australia back in the month of September in the year 2000? Remember what was happening? Sydney Olympics. Back in September, Cathy Freeman, despite having the weight of the entire nation upon her shoulders, went off and ran her race and won the gold medal. Now, you may also know that something else happened at that time of the world. It happened off the track, not actually in the Sydney Olympic venues, but a man called Frederick met a woman called Mary. Now, Mary was just like you and I. She was an ordinary woman. Frederick was the Crown Prince of Denmark. Now, fast forward a few years, and Mary and Frederick get married. Their marriage is a legally binding union. And I want you to see that that union changes everything for that woman, Mary. It's almost like she gets a new life at that point. Her position in society changes. Her wealth changes. Her fame is new. Her status is completely changed. Why? Because Frederick is the Crown Prince of Denmark. Now think about this, and this is an illustration that Meredith helped me to see. Imagine Mary had toured Denmark the year before the Sydney Olympics, like 1999. Imagine she had gone for a walk around Denmark back then. They wouldn't have let her in through the front door of the palace, would they? She's just a commoner, an ordinary person. But her legal union to the prince, and he's now actually the king, means not only is she able to enter into the palace, but she can rightfully sit on the throne as the queen. So here's what happens. Her union with Frederick changes her status. And with that comes enormous benefits for her. Now, I want you to see that in Romans 6, Paul is showing us that being united with Jesus sort of does a similar thing. Having a new life with him, it's a complete change in our status. We are now Jesus people by being united with him. And I want you to see that also means that we reign with him. And we see this in another one of Paul's letters, in a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. And I want to kind of explain a little bit of this. He starts off by explaining what he wants the church to know about Jesus. So in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 8, we read a prayer that Paul is praying that would enable Christians to know what they have. And so in verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 1, it says this: I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. See, here Paul is wanting the Christians in Ephesus to see the benefit of their union with Jesus. And he's praying that they would know the hope to which they've been called. He's praying that they would know of God's incomparably great power. Now, how great is God's power? Well, let's read on. He says, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Where is Jesus today? According to Paul, God the Father, in his mighty power, has raised him from the dead and seated him at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. There he has sovereign rule and reign. All things are under his feet. He is the head of the church. That's Jesus. What about us? Remember, we are united to him. Now come forward now in the book to chapter 2, verse 4, where Paul says this: But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions.
It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus. Can you see what happens with our union here? Because of our union, because we are with Christ, we've been raised with Jesus and seated with him in the heavenly realms. It's an incredible thing. We are with Jesus in the place where he reigns, and we are enjoying the benefits of his reign. Now you might say, how can that be true? Because we're still here very much in flesh and blood, aren't we? How do we make sense of this? And I suggest this is about our status and the benefits that come with that status. See, our status as those who reign with Jesus is that we now have access to God the Father. And we enjoy the spiritual benefits of being part of God's family, of reigning with Jesus. Just as Jesus is seated in heaven, we have been given an elevated status where we too are seated in the heavenly realms with Jesus. We've conquered death and sin because Jesus has. Now, bodily, of course, we are still here on the physical earth, and yet spiritually we share in the blessings of the risen Christ, who is crowned and exalted and risen. We share in his victory. We share in his authority and in the access that he provides to God the Father. Now, of course, Jesus rules in a way that we don't. He is the head of the church, but we do share in the benefits of his rule. When Mary entered into her union with Fred, the Crown Prince of Denmark, her status changed. And with that change in status comes in the benefits that she now enjoys. And I want you to see, the same is true of us who are in union with Jesus. Our status has changed. Can you see then how important our union with Jesus is? Can you see how important this idea of being gorilla taped to Jesus is? And so if that union is important for us, a good thing for us to consider is, how strong is that union? This is my third point in the outline if you're following through. And before, we tried to superglue, Benji and I tried to superglue those balls together, and the glue didn't work very well. It wasn't really that sticky. The Gorilla tape was much stronger. Pulling on those balls, we couldn't break the bond with the Gorilla tape. Let me ask you, how strong is our union with Jesus? Will it hold when we need it most? When we're on our deathbeds, can you be sure that the union will hold? And this morning, I want you to leave here having great confidence in the stickiness of our union with Jesus. Because the strength of the bond rests not on us holding on to him, but on him holding on to us. Let me show you this. If you turn with me to John chapter 10, John 10 verse 27, it's going to be on the screen, I think, behind me. Here is Jesus now speaking, and he says this, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." So can you see here the strength of our union with Jesus, the stickiness of that union, doesn't depend on us, doesn't depend on our strength, but on the strength of God the Father. One of the great things about having Tom on staff, there's many great things, but it means that after church sometimes he hangs around and he's packing up here, and he's doing that sometimes with his daughter Hattie. And for those of you who don't know, Hattie is 3.5 years old, so you get a picture of what that relationship looks like. Now just imagine with me, after church today, they choose to walk down to the shops down in Unley. And to get there, they have to cross over Unley Road. Unley Road's a dangerous road, a busy road. And so they hold hands to cross the road. Now let me ask you, who is holding on to who as they cross the road? See, Hattie might think that she is holding on to her dad's hand, but if she trips as she's walking across that road, or if a car swerves towards them, their union depends not so much on Hattie's grip on her father, but rather on the much stronger grip of her father holding onto her hand. Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. No one can snatch them out of my father's hand." What happens when we die? Can we be confident in our union with Jesus? Well, for those of us who listen to Jesus' voice, here is the certainty I want you to go home with. We will rise because we are stuck to the one who has already risen. And is there any possibility at the last moment that we'll somehow become unstuck? No. Because our union depends not on our strength, but on the strength of God the Father. That is our confidence. Now, over the last 3 weeks, we've been considering this question of what happens when we die. And the very big idea I want you to have locked into your hearts and minds is that just as Jesus rose, so too will we. And the certainty of our resurrection rests in our union with Jesus, that strong and certain union. Now, you might have a whole lot of other questions about what happens when we die. You might be wondering what happens to the world in which we live, what happens to heaven, what happens in the intermediate period between when we die and when Jesus returns. That they're all great questions to keep asking. And the Bible does have answers to some of those questions. Let me encourage you. You might like to chat with Sally or Glenver or Steph today after our service if you've got questions about that. But I also have a resource for you. I have this book here called What Happens When We Die. Now, there are about 15 copies, maybe a few less than that, out on the hall table out there. These books have been written by a man called Chris Morphew, who is a teacher and a chaplain in a school in Sydney. He's written these books for an audience who are in late primary school or high school, and he's specifically trying to address some of those questions about what happens when we die. There's copies out on the hall table. If you have someone in your family or someone who you might be able to read this book with who is in that age group, roughly, give or take, please feel free to take one and read that with those people. Now, here's what I want you to remember, regardless of whether you read that book or not, because the Bible is crystal clear on this. Just as Jesus rose, so too will we rise. That is the reality that helps us not to grieve like the rest of mankind. And the certainty of our resurrection rests in our union with Jesus. We're stuck to him. We share in his past and in his future. We share in his status and in his honor. We share in his death and in his resurrection, because we are Jesus' people. If we're stuck to Jesus, if we've died with him, then we will also rise with him. Perhaps you're here today as someone who's just wanting to know a little bit more about Jesus. You'd love to know a bit more about how you get in union with Jesus, how you come to know him better, how you go about listening to his voice. If that's you, I'd encourage you, please come and chat with me or chat with Tom or chat with Jack. We'd love to chat with you about that. Before I finish up today, there's one more thing that I want you to see in Romans 6, and this is also in your outline. It's the last point in your outline. Because in Romans 6, Paul is not really setting out to only answer the question of what happens when we die. Actually, the big question that Paul is speaking into is, how does being united to Jesus change us? How does it make us different? Now, of course, part of the answer to that we've already seen. We're different to those who don't know Jesus because we can have certainty about what happens when we die. That's part of it. But there's more to it than just that. See, Paul also wants us to see that being united to Jesus changes who we are at a fundamental level. In other words, it changes our identity. Paul's saying that our union with Jesus means that our old selves have died and we've become brand new people. And the big change between the old self and the new self is that we are no longer slaves to sin. Have a look with me at verse 6. This is where he says this clearly. Verse 6, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." You see what he's saying? Our union with Christ means that just as he died, so our old self dies and we take on a brand new self, a self that's different because it is not mastered by sin. That's part of our new identity. As those united to Jesus, we are not mastered by sin. We are instead mastered by him. And that changes us. I mean, if we know that, if that's our reality, think back to Hattie and Tom crossing the road. Imagine if, having got across the road, Hattie does the unthinkable thing of turning around and running back into the dangerous traffic. I mean, that would be disastrous, wouldn't it? See, having tasted the goodness of God, wouldn't it be equally disastrous for us to run away from him? Wouldn't it be equally disastrous to turn away from living that way, rejecting God and going back to our old sinful ways? But here, can you see, because of our union with Jesus, we are no longer mastered by sin. We are able to turn away from our sinful things. And we do that by not turning away from our Father. We do that by clinging to him, knowing that it's not our strength, but actually his grip on us that holds us there. We've been given a new life, and so we can turn away from sin. And we don't have to wait for Jesus' return for that to be the reality. It's a present thing. We are no longer mastered by sin right now. That's part of our identity. Now, of course, that doesn't make any of us perfect. Even those of us who have been walking with Jesus for a long time, well, we're still not perfect. Christians still make mistakes. We still get things wrong. We still hurt others. God hasn't finished his renovation project with us. Still got work to do, hasn't he? Sometimes that work is painful. You know, like all good building projects, sometimes it takes longer than you first expected to happen, right? C.S. Lewis is a great illustration of this that helps us to understand what God is doing in us and why it takes so long for us to be made into the person that we want to be. We expect God to shape us and change us. We don't realize how big the renovation project is. Here's what C.S. Lewis says. He says, imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps, you can understand what he is doing. He is getting the drains right and stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. You knew that those jobs needed doing, and so you are not surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably and doesn't seem to make any sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he is building quite a different house from the one you thought of, throwing out a new wing here, putting on an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought you were being made into a decent little cottage, but he is building a palace. He intends to come and live in it himself. See, we are Jesus' people, but we're still in the process of becoming more like Jesus. Over the last 3 weeks, we've been asking this question, what happens when we die? And here's the certainty for anyone who belongs to Jesus. You will rise. Why will you rise? Well, it's not because you went to church on Sunday morning. It's not because you attended the youth group. It's not because you went to chapel at school. Or it's not because you lived a good life. You rise because you are united to Jesus. Like we've been gorilla taped to him. He died, so we die to our old self. He rose, so we will too. Let me pray for us. Father God, we thank you for Paul's explanation about how we are connected to Jesus and what that means for us. We thank you for the promise that means that we will rise with Jesus. We thank you for the certainty that that gives us in our life today. And Father, we ask that your Spirit would be at work in us, that you would be doing that transforming work of helping us to be who we already are, that we would be more like Jesus as we live into who we are. Father, we thank you for the strength of our union, that it's rock solid, not because we hold on to you tightly, but because you hold on to us. And we give you great thanks and praise for that reality. Amen.